नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो 5 चैप्टर 11 एंटाइटल्ड जड़ भरत इंस्ट्रक्ट्स किंग रहुगणा टेक्स्ट नंबर 17 आत्रिव्यमेनं तदद्दभ्रवीर्यम् उपेक्षया धेधितम अप्रमत्तः गुरोर्हरेश्चरणोपासनास्त्रो जहि व्यलीकं स्वयमात्ममोषम्। त्रिवमेनं तदधप्रवीर्यम् This uncontrolled mind is the greatest enemy of the living entity. If one neglects it or gives it a chance, it will grow more and more powerful and will become victorious. Although it is not factual, it is very strong. It covers the constitutional position of the soul. O King, please try to conquer this mind by the weapon of service to the lotus feet of the spiritual master and of the supreme personality of Godhead. Do this with great care. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. There is one easy weapon with which the mind can be conquered: neglect. The mind is always telling us to do this or that. Therefore, we should be very expert in disobeying the mind's orders. Gradually, the mind should be trained to obey the orders of the soul. It is not that one should obey the orders of the mind. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that to control the mind, one should beat it with shoes many times just after awakening and again before going to sleep. In this way, one can control the mind. This is the instruction of all the Shastras. If one does not do so, one is doomed to follow the dictations of the mind. Another bona fide process is to abide strictly by the orders of the spiritual master and engage in the Lord's service. Then the mind will be automatically controlled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed Srila Rupa Goswami, Brahmanda Bhramite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Paye, Bhakti Lata Beech. When one receives the seed of devotional service by the mercy of the Guru and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's real life begins. If one abides by the orders of the spiritual master, by the grace of Krishna, he is freed from service to the mind. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gaurudev Pushpavanto Chitro Shando Tamonudo Ogropyanugro Evayam Subhaktana Mirkeshri Keshri Vasupotana Annesham Ugra Vikramaha. This uncontrolled mind is the greatest enemy of the living entity. If one neglects it or gives it a chance, it will grow more and more powerful and will become victorious. Although it is not factual, it is very strong. It covers the constitutional position of the soul. O King, please try to conquer this mind by the weapon of service to the lotus feet of the spiritual master and of the supreme personality of Godhead. Do this with great care. This is the last instruction, within this chapter that Jada Bharat Maharaj is giving to King Rahuguna. Rahuguna Maharaj has been vastly surprised by his interaction with
Shri Jad Bharat.
And the more he hears from him, the more his appreciation for this great saintly person increases. So, this chapter is just, it is similar to Arjuna's surprise when Krishna starts speaking to him. This chapter opens in a similar way. Jad Bharat is also chastising King Rahuguna that you are speaking like a learned person, but actually do not have correct knowledge. And then he explains what is real knowledge. He explains the position of the soul and how the soul has been encaptured by the false presentation of the mind. The verse says that the mind uncontrolled mind is the greatest enemy of the living entity. If one neglects it or gives it a chance, it will grow more and more powerful and become victorious. And in the purport, Prabhupada says the mind can be conquered by one weapon, neglect. So, does this seem to be a contradiction? Because in the verse it says, if one neglects the mind or gives it a chance. So this neglect is the neglect of illusion. And what Prabhupada is saying, the neglect is the neglect of knowledge. Neglect is there in both cases. For example, in knowledge, one can either go out into the rain and get wet, or out of ignorance, one goes out into the rain and gets wet. One gets wet either ways. A child does not understand what is happening. So it's getting wet by going to the rain is out of ignorance. But a person who is mature enough, when he goes out into the rain, he makes a decision to go out into the rain. And that is in knowledge. So the activity is the same, but one activity is born out of knowledge, out of voluntary decision, and the other is simply impetuous decision, ignorant decision. So there is no contradiction as such. It's the same thing. If we do not properly understand the mind and just neglect the activities of the mind, then the mind simply presents to us as being the master. The mind functions by convincing the living entity that whatever presentation it is giving to the living entity is factual. The mind convinces it. And how does the mind convince? The mind has got experience over so many lifetimes of doing the same. Just like we have relationships among devotees, and one devotee may have a nice relationship with another, and if one has to deal with this, have some dealings with this devotee, one says, don't worry, I will talk to him. He'll listen to me. Similarly, the soul has been associating with the mind as the controlling factor over millions of lifetimes. And therefore, in another lifetime, the mind says to its master, Mayadevi, don't worry, I will tackle him. Hence, neglecting the mind is not going to solve the problem. Nor following the instructions of the mind is going to be beneficial. And that has been explained in great detail over so many classes that we conduct, and also in the Bhagavad Gita. Following the orders of the mind is not beneficial to the living entity at all, because ultimately the mind, uncontrolled mind, simply causes the downfall of the living entity, and that is the victory of the mind. When we were small, there was a story taught to us. This was a story of the devil and his servant and one farmer. This shows the power of the devil or the power of the uncontrolled mind. When we were small, we hardly knew what was the essence of this story. Anyways, the devil gave the order to this person that this farmer, he is very pious. Somehow or the other, make him follow my orders or make him my devotee. So this devil's servant, he said, that's no problem, I will do it immediately. So he goes And that year he destroys everything that the farmer has put his efforts into. His crops, everything. So the farmer sits down and thinks, oh, this must be my karma, you know. After all, I'm not supposed to enjoy this. And he just accepts it. The devil is frustrated. So the servant is frustrated. So next year, he causes a physical ailment to the farmer by which he cannot work. Again, the farmer accepts it as his karma, as his reaction. So 2 years have gone by, the devil calls him in and says, what's happening? 2 years have gone, nothing has happened. He says, my dear master, give me one more chance. Just give me one more chance and I will definitely get this person, this person will definitely become your follower. I assure you of this. So he went, he disguised himself as a helper boy, as a farm hand. And he went to the farmer and said, I have nowhere to go, I am alone. Is it possible I can just stay on your farm? And I will help you out, I have no demands. Just I can get a place to stay and something to eat. The farmer was pious, so he said, all right, anyways, things are not good with me, but still, you can also stay and do whatever you can. So that year, the boy, he started advising the farmer in certain ways. He said, this year, you plant rice right far away from the river, very far away from the river bank. So this farmer said, are you crazy? Rice requires a lot of water. And this year the rainfall has not been good. There's not enough water in the rivers. If I planted, at least if we had wanted to plant rice, we should have gone close to the river bank. There will be some water available there. But why are you telling me to go far away from the river bank? No, please do it. Just have faith in me. He said, all right, anyways, for the past couple of years, everything is going waste. I'm at a loss. So we'll do what you want to do. So he planted it very far from the river bank. And that year what happened was, there was huge floods. The river overflooded. And where he had planted his rice, the river water just covered the fields enough for the rice to grow. Whereas everyone else had planted their rice close to the river bank. And because of overflooding, it could not grow. So everyone had a loss. And the farmer had a bumper crop. The farmer became very happy. You are a lucky omen for me. What can I do for you? No, dear sir, you are my master. I don't expect anything from you. Just allow me to stay with you. The next year was good rains. The farmer said, it seems there are good rains. The river could overflood. Maybe we should follow your plan. He said, no. This year, plant your rice close to the river bank. And if he could not understand, but he said, all right, last year I listened to him, planted it close to the riverbank. That year there was a drought. Everyone else thought that this farmer is very clever. Last year it planted away. So we will also plant away. But since that year there was a drought, this farmer had a bumper crop, everyone else lost. He became very happy. Now he had excess money. He said, I'm going to repair my house, I'm going to buy a car, I'm going to do this. What can I do for you? He said, no, nothing. I just want to stay with you, that's all. I'm satisfied staying with you. The third year he told the farmer, please plant your crops on the mountain top, on the mountain slopes. He said, are you crazy? Has anyone ever planted crops on the mountain slopes? He said, no, please do it like that. He said, okay, anyways, we have excess. This year, if something happens and the crops don't come out, no problem, we can still manage. He planted it on the slopes. Heavy rainfall, like Chirapunji, Assam. Heavy rainfall. Such rainfall that the mountain had enough water for the crops to grow and everything else was deluged. Again, everyone lost their crops. Farmer's crop was a bumper crop. This year the farmer said, I have so much excess, what to do? Would you like a car? Would you like something? So he said, no, my dear master, all I care for is your welfare. Now you have so much of rice, so much of corn, so much of grains. Why don't you do one thing? The excess grains that are there, please put them into water and allow them to stay over a couple of months. It produces a very nice drink. So he put the grains into water and allowed it to ferment for a couple of months. And then he extracted from that wine. And he felt very nice. Then he said, "My dear servant, you are giving me so much enjoyment. What else should I do?" He said, "Master, you have so much money. Everyone else wants money. They are ready to gamble. You know, just go and play with them for the sake of enjoyment." So he goes and starts gambling. And slowly but surely, all the vices come. And by the fourth year, he is very much the follower of the devil. This is the uncontrolled mind. The uncontrolled mind, if one gives it one chance, it gives us benefit. But ultimately, it becomes so powerful that the mind with its original plan becomes victorious. So Prabhupada in the purport says, one aspect to control the mind is neglect it through knowledge. The mind says, "Now I want to do this." We say, "No, this is not important for my Krishna consciousness. Therefore, will not follow you. I will not listen to you." And one devotee gave an example. Like the mind is just like a hyperactive child. Supposing you are driving a car and a child is sitting beside you. The child sees something and says, "Papa, see that." And because you are driving, you are concentrating on the road, and suddenly the child says something, your attention is drawn towards the child's direction. So you look there and then you lose sight of where you are going. So you tell the child, "Keep quiet, don't disturb me." So the child keeps quiet. After a few moments, he says, "Papa, look at that." So again your mind goes there. So after a few times the child says like that, you say, "Alright, now I'm going to get out my earplugs. To whatever child says, it's no use. I know he's going to do this. Just neglect him. He's not going to keep quiet." So that is one way of simply neglecting whatever the mind instructs one to do. A powerful process, but it requires a lot of practice. And in Kali Yuga, with everything decreasing, practice is one thing that one finds very difficult to perform. It's very easy to do something with a short-term benefit, but over a long-term plan, which requires a lot of practice and endeavor, it's very difficult. All of us, we are aware of it. Right? Especially in Kali Yuga. Hence, Prabhupada says, another way is to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And that is a much more sublime process. Today is also Vyas Purnima or Guru Purnima. It is the day one when one remembers all that the spiritual master has kindly bestowed on us and tries to express one's gratitude. Around 500 years back, Lord Sri Chaitanya had advented in this world. And after performing his initial pastimes as a pandit, as a naughty boy, he went to Gaya. He received instructions from Ishwarapuri Maharaj and came back and became engrossed in the chanting of the holy names. Very instructive. Lord Chaitanya has come as a devotee and he instructs us that once one receives the instructions from the spiritual master, one must be engrossed in the instructions of the spiritual master. And how to be engrossed in the instructions of the spiritual master? Lord Chaitanya showed. Kotai Krishna, Kotai Krishna, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? This is engrossment. Because spiritual master said, "You are a fool. Fool number one, you simply chant Hare Krishna. That is all." So he's completely engrossed in remembering the Supreme Lord and trying to search out for the Supreme Lord through chanting of the holy names. So all the devotees are very happy. And Lord Chaitanya is finding newer and newer ecstasies arousing within him when he was engaged in the congregational chanting of the Maha Mantra. That he had somewhere within his heart, he felt some remorse. He felt some lacking. And Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that he was missing the company of his brother, Sri Nityananda Prabhu. The process of Bhakti Yoga is a process of association of devotees. The Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, when he comes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also feels some incompleteness without the presence of Lord Nityananda. Without association, there is always some lacking within the heart. Why? Because the nature of the living entity is to reciprocate. Why is the nature of the living entity to reciprocate? What can we do? Krishna produced us in that way. He created us in that way. Here is a person who is the reservoir of all pleasure and he wants to increase his pleasure and he expands himself into his own minute expansions so that he can have reciprocation and these minute expansions can have reciprocation with him. So because that is the very nature with which Krishna has endowed us, we need to reciprocate. The perfection of that reciprocation is when we can have proper association and reciprocate in that. So Lord Chaitanya, till he could have the association of his most dear brother Lord Nityananda, he felt something lacking. And then one day, he told the devotees, a great personality is going to manifest himself in Navadvip today. I want you to search for him. He is none other than Lord Balaram. And he specifically ordered Srivas Thakur and Srila Haridas Thakur to go and search. And they searched the whole of Navadvip, but they could not find Lord Nityananda. One devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, what is the greatest benefit that one can offer to someone? Srila Prabhupada said, what I have given you, give it to others. How can we please you, they had asked. And what has Srila Prabhupada given his devotees? He had given his devotees Krishna consciousness. He had given them Krishna. Right? So unless and until we give devotees Krishna, in other words, what I am trying to stress is, Krishna is looking out for his devotee and nobody else can find out that devotee unless that devotee carries Krishna to that person. So Srivas Thakur and Haridas Thakur are searching out for Lord Nityananda. But Lord Nityananda he's decided that only when Lord Chaitanya comes, I'll surrender to him. I'll wait for the Lord to find me. This is the aspiration of a devotee. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, try to serve Krishna in such a way that he tries to find you. That is the determination of a devotee. To serve Krishna in such a way that Krishna will come and find him. So then at the house of Nandan Acharya, both the brothers meet and there is ecstatic kirtan. Everyone is astounded just seeing both of them together. After a few days, there was an assembly of devotees of Vaishnavas. And seeing that assembly of Vaishnavas, Lord Nityananda was so happy. You see, Lord Nityananda has spent 20 years of his life roaming all the holy places and his ultimate conclusion was the altars are empty and there are no devotees. So he asked some good people around, where is Krishna? Altars seem to be empty here. And they said, we have heard Krishna has adventured in Navadvip. Presently has gone to Gaya, but now he has come back to Bengal. So Lord Nityananda came back to Bengal searching for Lord Chaitanya. So now when he is in that association of devotees, Lord Nityananda is so happy. Lord Nityananda was staying in Vrindavan and engrossed in the pastimes of the Lord there. But within his heart, he was waiting for the time when Lord Chaitanya would start the congregational chanting of the holy names. Because he knew that when the Sankirtan movement is started, there will be an association of devotees there. Congregation means association. So although he was in this holy place of Vrindavan and he was completely meditating on the pastimes of the Lord there, he was still hankering for the congregational association, wherein devotees come together to chant Hare Krishna. And as soon as he got the order, he left Vrindavan Dham and came to Navadvip. And what was the difference? Because here Lord Chaitanya had established Sangha. Srila Prabhupada in Nectar of Instruction, he mentions, just so that devotees can have nice association and a systematic program where they are fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, associating with each other and reciprocating with each other, we have established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Right? So therefore, understanding that instruction, that guideline from Lord Nityananda, we especially in Kali Yuga, if we want to follow the process of perfection, it is but important that we participate wholeheartedly in the congregational chanting of the holy names, wherever it takes place. Dhamvas, Archa Vigraha Seva, all that is very powerful. Unfortunately, we are not even qualified to approach that process. The only process that we can approach and take shelter of is a congregational chanting of the holy names. And Lord Nityananda has proven that. He left Sri Vrindavan Dham and came to Navadvip. So Lord Chaitanya, he sees Lord Nityananda and says, "Hey Nityananda Gosai, let us celebrate your Vyasa Puja." Out of nowhere, Lord Chaitanya says that to Lord Nityananda. "Where would you like your Vyasa Puja to be celebrated? Tomorrow is a very auspicious day. It is a full moon day on which Lord Vyasadeva is worshipped, Vyasa Purnima. So we could do it tomorrow." Lord Nityananda looks around, catches the hand of Srivast Thakur and says, "The house of this Brahmana will be the perfect place for this ceremony." Lord Chaitanya looks at Srivast Thakur and says, "On your head today has been placed a very great responsibility. And there are big question marks in Lord Chaitanya's eyes. Because to perform the Vyasa Puja of Sri Nityananda, Adi Guru, is not an ordinary event." And Lord Nityananda catches the living entity for that process. "At his house, I am going to have my Vyasa Puja celebrated." Thus, Lord Nityananda is establishing for all times to come a strong bond between every living entity and the spiritual master. He is re-establishing that relationship, that it is only through the mercy of the spiritual master that one can approach Lord Chaitanya. "At his house we shall perform the Vyasa Puja." Srivast Thakur says, "No problem. All the paraphernalia is there by your mercy. We have the ghee, we have the Brahmin thread, we have the rice, we have all the ingredients. I just need to have the book where this procedure has been explained. I will acquire it and we can go through the ceremony." Some days back I was discussing with some boy, a very young boy, and well read. He's read all of Prabhupada's books. I was amazed. He's just maybe 14 years of age. Came to our program 1 year back, and I asked him, "Which books have you read?" I have read your Masik, your magazine, Jau Deva Chagava. Every month I take. I said, "Oh, that's nice. Maybe that's all." "I read Bhagavad Gita as it is, written by Prabhupada. I've read Punaragman. I've read Purna Prashna Purna Uttar. I've read Ishopanishad. I've read..." "Now tell me one thing. What is the difference between you and Shankara Bhashya?" I said, "What do you know about Shankara Bhashya?" He said, "I've read it. Prabhupada says, Maya Bhashya Shunila Hai Sarvanash." I said, "My God." And he quoted that. "So why does Prabhupada say, and Shankaracharya is Mayavad? So what is the difference between that?" And then he says, "I've read Shikshamrit, Chaitanya Shikshamrit, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and the best instruction is the instruction that Lord Chaitanya gave to Sanatana Goswami. I like that." This is a 14-year-old boy, simply by reading Prabhupada's books. I mean, amazing. And then he says, "And in Nectar of Devotion," and I was surprised when he said Nectar of Devotion. He says, "Nectar of Devotion, two methods have been explained, Sadhana Bhakti and Raganoga Bhakti. Now some person from Vrindavan had come here and he says, Sadhana Bhakti is meant for the lower stage, Raguna Bhakti is the actual process, and Harinam is not so important. What is more important is Rupa Dhyan." I mean, I really had to get out all my astras ready to convince this person. And it was ecstatic. Here was finally someone with whom you like to talk. And of all the places where we were talking on a railway station, it was just like Kurukshetra. And this boy was convinced, actually, he was convinced by Srila Prabhupada. But he had read so many things. And then he went into Yoga Sutras. He said, "Patanjali says like this." I said, "Please, just a minute." Somehow we explained something to him. He said, "I'll come later on, I'll discuss." He's heard only one or two lectures. He regularly sees many, hears many lectures on the television and all that. But definitely he is some special soul. 14-year-old. Just given his 11th standard. So he says, why not go for Raganuga Bhakti? And he says, this person quoted shlokas from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I said, you've heard of Chaitanya Charitamrita also? He said, yes. And he says that actually Rupa Dhyana is a process. Meditate on the form of Krishna. I said, how do you know which form of Krishna to meditate? He said, even that person said, it doesn't matter which form. You can imagine any form. I asked him, really, do you believe that? He said, I don't believe it. But I'm just asking you for the sake of... Then he said, have you heard about some IRF? He said, that doctor there, he says, and he's hearing his lectures and he says, there was a telephonic conversation on which you can ask questions to him directly. And I wanted to ask him, you say in your scripture God is Nirakar, but then your scripture says that at one point of time God gathers everyone within his arms. That means God has arms? So how can he be Nirakar? And he was quoting the Quran. He's really well read. So anyways, the point that I'm saying is, Raghunaga Bhakti is there. Yes, spontaneous attraction for Krishna has to be awakened and it will be awakened. Even if you don't want it to be awakened, it will be awakened if you properly follow the process. Because spontaneous attraction to Krishna is the natural inclination of the living entity. Having forgotten it, we are spontaneously attracted to something which appears to be Krishna. As a small child, I was very much attracted to eating sugar. And anything that looked white appeared to be sugar. White and crystalline. So one day I went into the kitchen and there I found a nice plastic packet with crystalline sugar inside it. I said, why has my mother kept crystalline sugar outside? Because she would usually keep it under lock and key. If she had not, every day they would have to buy sugar. Anyways, so because the senses were so attracted to this white crystalline object, I immediately took some of it and put it into my mouth. Unfortunately, it turned out to be oxalic acid. That is what is happening, spontaneously attracted towards sugar, but unfortunately, because of illusion, we fall for something that appears to be Krishna. It is not Krishna. It appears to be Krishna. Because yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam shrimat urjitam evava, what is there which is not Krishna? Everywhere there is Krishna's vibhuti, everywhere there is Krishna's energy. How can we stay without being attracted to Krishna? Therefore, Prabhupada said, everyone is searching for, or George Harrison says, or Prabhupada says, everyone is a devotee of Krishna. Somebody knows, some don't know. So natural attraction towards Krishna is but the nature of the living entity. It has to be reawakened. And the process of systematically reawakening that is required. It is essential. And that is sadhana. So Srivas Thakur is an unalloyed devotee. He is one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya. He could have performed Vyas Puja in a Raganuga way. Why not? But he says, only thing I need is the book which explains the procedure. I get it. And then everything will be perfect. So the Lord Chaitanya tells Lord Nityananda, all right. Lord Nityananda, it has been arranged. But let us go to Srivasa's house and make preparations for the Vyas Puja. Lord Nityananda is more than happy. They enter Srivasa's Angan. Just like as soon as one enters any ISKCON temple, you know what to expect there. The deities, prasadam, different atmosphere. As soon as anyone enters Srivasa's Angan, there's only one thing that happens. Specifically, when these associates along with Lord Chaitanya enter, there is madness. As soon as all these devotees enter Srivasa Angan, the first thing that the person does is close all the doors. Why? Because there is sheer madness going on there. When one person, all the devotees, just by stepping into that place, they become mad in Krishna consciousness. Shamanand Prabhu always likes to refer to that as the Rasasthali of Navadvip. Because that is where the intense mood of affection for Krishna is manifested. So Lord Chaitanya is dancing, Lord Nityananda is dancing, Vrindavan Thakur. He says, these two brothers are dancing so much in love with each other that they cannot stop looking at each other. It's not that Lord Chaitanya is engaged in dancing and he's doing so many maneuvers so that devotees can look at him. Lord Chaitanya is enjoying seeing the dance of Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda is taking pleasure in seeing the dance of Lord Chaitanya. And that is a reciprocation that takes place in congregational chanting. One is inspired by seeing other devotees' input of devotional service. And Vrindavan Das Thakur says, at one point of time, Lord Chaitanya became so ecstatic, his leg was touching his head. Some devotees sometimes tried that with unfortunate results. And Lord Nityananda, when he danced, the earth started quaking. Anyways, so this ecstatic dance was taking place. Suddenly Lord Chaitanya said, where is this throne of Vishnu? And he goes and sits on it. And starts demanding, give me wine, give me wine, give me wine. Everyone is surprised. What is this? Four regulative principles? Maybe in Srivas Angan we are not required to follow four regulative principles, isn't it? Because that's the Rasa Sthali, the highest esoteric place of Navadvip. Isn't it? No rules and regulations required. That is what Chaitanya Bhagavat says. Give me wine, give me wine. So what do the devotees do? They go running around getting wine? Devotees have a confused look. What is this mood of Lord Chaitanya? And then Lord Chaitanya turns to Lord Nityananda and says, give me my plow. Lord Nityananda gives him a plow. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, many of the devotees are confused by the empty-handed exchange taking place between Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. But few fortunate devotees see Lord Balaram offering his plow to Lord Chaitanya. Even if one is in the presence of Krishna, how is it that one can see the pastimes of Lord Krishna? Unless until one is fortunate enough and blessed. Therefore, hankering for Krishna is not the desire of the devotee. Hankering for Krishna's service is the desire of the living entity. Because anyways, one hankers for Krishna, but if one is not blessed, even though one may be in the presence of Krishna, one may not see the pastimes taking place. So after some time, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, devotees understand something, so they get Ganges water. Lord Chaitanya first feeds all the devotees. You drink, and then he drinks, and manifests the mood of Lord Balaram. Devotees start singing the praises of Lord Balaram. And then Lord Chaitanya comes out of his mood and says, was I incoherent? Devotees say nothing was inconsistent. Everything was all right. But Lord Nityananda is still in madness. He's very restless. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, then Lord Chaitanya goes and pacifies him. And he says, so here is the reciprocation between the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's very inconceivable. A devotee can never understand what is the mood completely of the spiritual master, his internal mood, his internal service mood to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is only the Supreme Lord who can understand it. So he pacifies Lord Nityananda. Then he says, come, we have to go. Tomorrow prepare for Vyasa Puja, now rest. At night Lord Nityananda rests. And suddenly he goes into ecstasy. And in his ecstasy he breaks his danda and his kamandalu. Now for a sannyasi, his danda is the danda is the object, it is the representation of his surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sannyasis carry the danda throughout their life. In fact, the danda goes with them even in samadhi. So, knowingly a sannyasi will never ever disrespect his danda, and nobody does that to a sannyasi's danda also. But Lord Nityananda broke his danda and his kamandalu. Therefore, the next day when Srivas Thakur's brother Ramai Pandit comes in, he's surprised and perplexed. He goes to Srivas Thakur and says, this has happened. Srivas Thakur goes to
Lord Chaitanya says, this is what your Nityananda has done. Lord Chaitanya comes immediately, sees his anda, picks it up, takes Lord Nityananda and says, let us go to the Ganga. And there personally he throws the anda into the Ganga. Lord Nityananda is so restless. Lord Chaitanya sometimes chastises him and then he keeps quiet. And again he becomes restless. Finally he sees a crocodile in the river. Just as sometimes devotees are attracted to Mahaprasad, Lord Nityananda is attracted to crocodiles. He just jumps into the river and starts swimming to the crocodile. And obviously, few devotees who are on the periphery, they feel left out and they say, hi, hi, where is the Mahaprasad going? Give me some. Similarly, Srivas Thakur, Gadadhar Pandit, they are shouting, hi, hi, Lord Nityananda is going among the crocodiles. But come back, he does not listen to anyone. Only Lord Chaitanya says, Nitai, come back. Just as an elephant is controlled by the Ankush, the elephant goad, Lord Nityananda, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, can only be controlled by the Ankush, by the instructions of the goad, goad-like instructions of Lord Chaitanya. Again, that is the relationship between the Supreme Lord and the Spiritual Master. The Supreme Spiritual Master has, it is his prerogative only to be answerable to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and listen to him. And therefore, at this point of time, the main point that I wanted to stress was to understand the activities of the spiritual master is most difficult. Lord Nityananda is Adi Guru. He's running after crocodiles sometimes. Sometimes he dances and his clothes fall off. Sometimes he's an avadhut. The next day at the Vyasa Puja, Srivas Thakur tells him, here is a garland of flowers, you garland Vyasadeva and offer mantras, suitable mantras and offer your prayers and obeisances. If one worships Lord Vyasadeva nicely in this way, then all one's desires is fulfilled. And Lord Nityananda says, yes, 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 yes. But he does nothing. It is very much observable in the lives of devotees that when they try to understand the activities of the spiritual master, they are but bewildered. It is explained that there are many tattvas, truths. The absolute truth is Krishna, the Vishnu tattva. Then there is a jiva tattva, the living entity. Then there is shakti tattva, the energies of the Lord. And there is a guru tattva. At one point of time, one may be able to understand all the other tattvas. But to understand the guru tattva is the most difficult. One of the reasons is because the spiritual master, being the external manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears to be just like an ordinary living entity. One Srila Prabhupada, let us take the life of Srila Prabhupada. Once he was asked, you are saying that the renunciation is the quality of a devotee, but you have this big Rolls Royce. What about that? So Prabhupada just turned to him and said, if these devotees had offered even a golden car, it would have been less for the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What to speak of a Rolls Royce? And another place, when Prabhupada is giving a lecture and he explains the four classes of men, somebody gets up and says, so you must be first class, isn't it? Prabhupada says, no, I am 10th class, the servant of all. So at one place, he is manifesting the mood of anything offered to me is less. Another place he manifests the mood of being the lowest of all. Yes? So how does one understand the activities of the spiritual master? If one wants to understand the activities of the spiritual master, the first thing that one has to do is give up any logic in trying to understand his activities. Jnane prayasam udapasya. One has to throw away all logical thinking in trying to understand the activities of the spiritual master. That does not mean that one does not use logic. One does not use reasoning. One uses it. But ultimately one comes to the conclusion, jivanti sat mukharitam bhavadiya vartam. Simply sit down at his lotus feet and hear the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from him. By such hearing, sthane sthita shruti gatam, by being situated at the lotus feet of the spiritual master, sthane sthita means sitting at the lotus feet of the spiritual master, That is the position of the disciple. To be situated at the lotus feet of the spiritual master and do what? Shruti gatam. Hear from him. Gata comes gaman. It means some movement. There has to be some impetus, some activity. And what is the activity? Shruti gatam. One has to be engaged positively in hearing from the spiritual master what he speaks. Tanavak manobhir. And by such situation, when one gives up the attempt to understand through one's own logical understanding the activity of the spiritual master and continues hearing from him regularly, jitopi ajita, one can conquer the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unconquerable in the three worlds. Srila Prabhupada's disciple who was serving him, and when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he said, "Eho hai, this is all right, but go ahead." So simply sitting down and hearing from the spiritual master is not enough. Because the spiritual master offers instructions and instructions have to be carried out. So therefore the spiritual master says, "Eho hai, this is all right. Aage kaho aur, do something more. Go ahead. Go ahead. Till now whatever you were doing was logical. So when you said, Gyane prayasam udapasya, I give up all this process of understanding you and your instructions to mental speculation," then he says, "Eho hai, this is all right." I'm just transposing it, taking out another meaning from this presentation between Lord Chaitanya Lord and Ramananda Rai. But now, and from there when one goes ahead. So actual surrender unto the spiritual master begins when one sits down and hears unconditionally from him. The real progress begins from there. But if one simply stays there and does not go ahead, what happens? One devotee of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada has made so many statements that if one uses logic, one will definitely be bewildered. So many statements, especially from the scientific point of view. So there was a servant of Srila Prabhupada who was serving him. He had surrendered his life to him. And he had tried to give up his mental speculative attitude and follow the orders of Srila Prabhupada. But then a situation came where he could not accept one statement of Srila Prabhupada. Because it did not fit into his logical brain. So although he was hearing from Srila Prabhupada close to him, sitting down and serving him, but he could not give up that mental speculative attitude. How is it possible? These scientists have made that endeavor. They have reached their goal. And here Prabhupada says they have never gone there. It's impossible. And what happened? Even after surrendering to Srila Prabhupada and making all endeavors to remain surrendered unto him, he could not accept. Because he could not give up the attitude of questioning through the speculative mind the activities of the spiritual master. He had to leave. Another disciple of Srila Prabhupada, when he was questioned in Vrindavan, Prabhupada in one place says this, in another place says that. One very, very topical issue in ISKCON. A controversial issue. He says, one place Prabhupada says this, and another place he says just the opposite. How do you resolve it? He says, "I don't. I know Prabhupada in one place says this, and in one place says that. I have no problem with it. I am simply trying to surrender and follow his instructions." So here is the attitude that determines how one surrender to the spiritual master helps one to progress. In ordinary activities, when one becomes frustrated because of bewilderment, generally when one is frustrated, what happens? One gives up the process. So what helps a devotee stay on attached to his spiritual master is very important to consider. Activities will definitely be bewildering. Definitely be bewildering. What to speak of activities of the spiritual master? He is the supreme most Vaishnava for his disciple. Activities of a Vaishnava himself are bewildering. Vaishnavere kriya mudra vigya na bujaye. Vigya. Gya. No. Vigya. Even the most intelligent person will not be able to understand. So what to speak of the activities of the spiritual master? One who is properly situated. How do we understand him? So, Prahlad Maharaj, when he prays to Lord Narsingadev, he makes that point. In Prahlad Maharaj's life, before the darshan of Lord Narsingadev, here is that devotee who has never seen his spiritual master face to face. Never in his life. Till that point he meets the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The only connection he had with his spiritual master was when he was within the womb of his mother. Vani is so important and so powerful than Vapu. Srila Prahlad Maharaj never had any association directly with his spiritual master. But because he was attached to the instructions of the spiritual master and had full faith in him, it manifested in his seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he says that my future was something different. I had entered the school in which the future was, just like when somebody enters a school, people say, now his career is fixed, now his future is fixed. Now I have no problem. You know, parents feel very much relaxed. Where has your son taken admission? This college. Oh, very nice. Very good college. Now he'll definitely become a good engineer, good doctor. Yeah, yeah. Somehow I've been blessed. Good career prospects. Good future. Prahlad Maharaj says, similarly, that was my prospects. Evam janam nipatitam prabhavahi kupe. I had taken admission into the school of materialistic people. Evam janam nipatitam prabhavahi kupe. Prabha ahi kupe. Prabhava ahi kupe. Into the materialistic well full of snakes of material desires. Anyways, and my future was, he uses this word patan twice in this verse. Just as Krishna sometimes to stress a point expresses the word bhakti twice or thrice in a verse, here the word nipatitam and prapatan prasangat. Prahlad Maharaj uses this word patan twice. Why? Because he explains, this was my condition, my dear Lord. I was not only fallen, I was falling twice. I was fallen twice. I had no hope. But this person, your devotee, he brought me to the platform as being himself, his own platform. Kritva Atma Sat. He did not say, become my follower. He did not say, you may stay one step below me. This large-hearted person has given me the podium on which he stands. Atmasat, he made me just like him. How can I give up the association of such a person? How can I give up serving such a person? So, meditation and appreciation of what the spiritual master has offered us allows the devotee to come above the platform of Gyan. And then he can udapasya. He can throw, kick the speculative attitude that one has by meditation. And hence, so many bhajans, kripa bindu diya, right? And you, chakhudan dilo jai, janme janme prabhu sai. Why is all of that happening? Why the devotees? Because they are meditating on what the spiritual master has offered them. You see, most of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, when they remember Srila Prabhupada, they remember how Srila Prabhupada chastised them. And they narrated with such affection, so much love. I mean, nobody in this material world relishes chastisement. Nor does he relish explaining that to somebody else. Why is that? Because they remember that their position is to be chastised much more by Maya Devi. But the spiritual master is so affectionate. He's offering that love, that affection, that care. He's offering the devotee the same podium as he has. And hence, the devotee, disciple, meditating on the greatness of the spiritual master and what he has offered us, becomes eternally indebted to the spiritual master. And therefore, here Srila Prabhupada says, that when one receives a seed of devotional service by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, one's real life begins. The real mercy of the spiritual master has to be appreciated. And that is Vyasa Purnima or Guru Purnima. It is to remember what the spiritual master has offered us. And what does the spiritual master offer us? Lord Nityananda, Adi Guru, is the most bewildering. But on Vyas Puja day, Guru Purnima day, when Srivast Thakur is saying, garland, garland Vyasadev. He does not listen. Seems to be as if he does not hear. So Lord Chaitanya is called. And then Nityananda Prabhu garlands Lord Chaitanya. The spiritual master offers us Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is nothing but the intense love of the greatest devotee for Krishna. So that Krishna prem that everyone is hankering for is manifested by Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya is revealed to a devotee by Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda is the manifestation of, he is the Guru Tattva. And his external manifestation comes in form of the spiritual master. And meditating on the mercy of the spiritual master allows us access to receive the mercy of the Guru Tattva, who opens the door to Krishna Prem. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki. Please, I'm very sorry.